switching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. I don't know what they were smoking in Oklahoma City this morning, but that one news channel said 45, 50 for a high today. It's going to have to hurry out here. 28 degrees, wind chill is 14, humidity is 74, and that's what makes it feel so cold, so much humidity. The winds are out of the north at 23 miles an hour, gusting up to 30. Let's see what the wind gusts look like around our listening area. Well, it looks like Elk City, Mangum, and Hollis. We got the high wind gust going right now, 30 miles an hour. There's a streak through western Oklahoma going from the southwest, northeast towards Perry up there. There's just a really about 100 miles, not even 100 miles wide, 50 miles wide. It's gusty and it's cold. And looks like our snow chances are going up. So anyway, I'll have that Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I have one of my favorite guests. I don't want to make the other guests mad. But anyway, Mr. Jimmy Taylor from the Taylor Ranch is in the studio with me today. And we're going to be talking, well, probably cattle. And so anyway, we've been on a couple of ventures together here in the last month or two. But anyway, we're going to talk about some cattle. We're going to talk about the checkoff. We got all kinds of things going on. So we are streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on KECOFM.com. We're streaming live on the Paragon app. We're streaming live on the radio. And the text line is open. The KCO Ag text line is open at 580-225-9697. If you got any questions, text them in. Or you got anything you want to talk about? Well, let's talk about the market a little bit here real quick. And then we'll get on with Jimmy in the second segment. Crude oil is going backwards. I notice diesel at Hutch's West Side out here this morning. It was a little cheaper than it was yesterday, which is fine with me. Live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hogs are all down today. Live cattle for April is $136.75. June is $133.05. August is $135.10. October, $142.57. Feeder cattle for March, $151.85. April, $156.87. Lean hogs for April, 107, May, 107.15, June, 114. Let's go to some cash grain prices in Oklahoma real quick. And here we go. Wheat is down. This morning I come into the studio at 6 o'clock. Wheat was at 10.61. It is now at, it was 10.61 or no, it wasn't. It was 10.21. This right now it's 9.82 for cash. Corn 737, Milo's at 715, soybeans just been in there hanging tough at 1598. And I'll remind everybody again why there hasn't been a lot of fluctuation with the soybeans is everybody's focused on Russia and Ukraine, and they're not paying no attention down there in Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay, where they're in the middle of their soybean harvest and are about done. And they're making a lot less than projected, so soybeans are hanging in there pretty tough. So, well, I'm going to get on to our first set of commercials and pay some bills so we can get back, and Jimmy and I can get to talking. And later on, after the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger weather update, I'll give you some updates on what happened at Hobart yesterday. They had a bunch of heavy bred cows, 3 to 5 year old, and then some older ones sell yesterday. They did really good. I'll give you an update on that. So be right back. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Their genetics work. They've got proof. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale is Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. Selling 100 18-month-old Red Angus Bulls, 30 registered bred fall calving heifers, and 15 registered open heifers. Lunch at noon, sale starts at 1 p.m. B&L values low inputs with high efficiency, added pounds through genetic merit, and honest females that make it happen year after year. The B&L Red Angus Bull Sale, Wednesday, March 23rd at the ranch near Putnam. For catalog and videos, log on to blredangus.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, there we go. Nothing's changed since we started the show. 28 degrees, wind chills 14 miles an hour, or 14 degrees. And I'm sorry, I'm just excited. We're having the Jimmy and Jimmy show now. It's one of my favorite shows, the Jimmy and Jimmy show. But anyway, humidity 74%, winds out of the north at 23, and wind gust at 30 miles an hour. And Mr. Taylor, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Say that one more time. I got you now.
Thanks, Jimmy.
There we go. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. Now, you invite me on your show and you mute me. First thing.
I
didn't even do anything yet.
No, I just hit the button. But anyway, well, you probably had an eventful morning just like me. It's cold out there, and cows need fed, though.
They need fed, and we're calving right now. So we had several preparations to make before the winter storm gets here. Our calving traps, we're trying to get them toward the shelter a little bit, so those that have really newborn calves can get behind a windbreak.
Yeah.
And those that haven't calved yet will have a place to go, and we can kind of influence them that way. They don't always take that hint. But
it's there and available.
Yep.
It's there. Yeah, because I noticed this morning when I was feeding, I was rolling out a bale of hay. Those calves are usually running circles around me in the pickup because their mamas are young, too, and they act stupid and run around me. This morning, they were just standing over there with their tails tucked in between their back legs. They were chilly.
That wind's going to get brutal tonight.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus and I spent our morning rolling out hay right next to those windbreaks where when they got through eating, hopefully the whole bunch leaves over that way.
Well, I see you're still married. You know, Tracy put on Facebook the other day, it was cattle working day, and she was bundled up, had 50 pounds of clothes on, and she was going to go gather up some mamas and babies. The mamas don't want it. The babies don't want to, you know, cooperate. Anyway, and then she's... I won't get into the rest of it.
probably best.
Anyway, but that, I guess that you guys got some pairs moved?
Yes, we've been pairing out. We calve in traps, so as quick as we can, we'll pair them out. And they'll, you know, some as young as one day, but probably 2 days and up.
Right.
Is where we try to get them, where they'll travel with mom and follow out, go to the next pen or go to the corrals.
Right.
Where we can give mom or breed back shot. And we'll go ahead and castrate the boy calves at that time.
Right.
And then take them out to a big pasture where they've got more shelter and more room to run and play like you,
and you don't
stated
have to,
earlier.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about them, because I noticed this year while calving those heifers, you know, are young cows. They're still playful. They're still mean. You know, it's like a bunch of junior high girls in there. They got their little pecking order. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of mean to some of those heifers when they're calving. I mean, laying there trying to have a calf, they're over there, get up and play, you know. Just get them out of the way.
Yeah. Heifers are a little different. They haven't quite figured it out
right
sometime. And mine seem to be over motherly. I don't know how many times we've had one in the process of calving, and she thinks that she likes this one that's already on the ground, so she's claiming it while she's in labor.
Yeah,
that's always a challenge.
Oh, I'm done. So with the heifers, I'm completed. All the babies are ear tagged, and they're over there in that pasture. And I got my ones that I lost two calves. I got those heifers and some ones that are fall calvers in a separate pasture, so I don't have to. Where's her calf at? Well, I know what's now, but they, and this, hopefully this is our last winter storm.
Well, it's hitting at the right time for my heifers. We do a timed AI, so when you breed everything the same day, they're going to calve pretty close together.
Right.
And we started calving February 24th, had 206 that were going to calve. That's cows and heifers. And we've got 128 on the ground, so a little over 60%.
And right at 2 weeks or a little over 2 weeks. That's good.
Yep. We've been busy.
That's better than that 90-day crap. But what did you tell me? Is it 48 or 52 days is your time frame that you want them bred in?
Cows, we had most of them in a 52-day period. We just did a preg check. We had one much that was 55 days. Now, our heifers are 25 days.
Okay.
They get two chances to get bred, the AI day and then that next heat cycle.
With the cleanup bull.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you got any exciting news? And I've seen you at one bull sale, and then I rode with you to the one in Texas. And what do you think about how things are does anything look abnormal this year at the bull sales? They look about the same. Pricing looks like it's about the same too.
It looks like they're selling pretty good.
Right.
I don't know how each individual breeder feels that has those sales, but
right.
But to me, that they look like they're getting some good prices.
Yeah,
you look at those averages, I would say if anything, they're up a little bit.
Right.
Maybe
because this is a weird year. No, I mean, not only for farmers and ranchers, the cattle, you know, it's been especially the younger cattle, the lightweights, that market's been, I mean, yesterday, last Monday and Friday at the local sales, you know, that you could tell they were down because there's so much uncertainty going on in the world. But then yesterday I look at Hobart sale and they're back up there, you know, 236 for four weights. That's a pretty good price for lightweight cattle. But, you know, we got that going on. We got the war going on. We got the grain market fluctuating up and down. Our fuel is high. And it's just a crazy world out here. But from what I've seen at the few sales I was at and some of the sales results, I mean, it looks like everybody still got hope, you know. I'm sticking with my game plan.
Well, I think another reason those sale prices are up a little bit is that the purebred breeders are doing an excellent job improving their genetics and getting bulls out there that are good in more areas than used to.
Yeah, well, of course, the Angus Association, they do a wonderful job. But I've also seen where the Simmental and the Herefords and the Maines, they've stepped up their game a little bit, you know, especially with doing the EPDs and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and promoting cattle and promoting beef, which we'll get into the beef part here in just a little bit. But looks like everybody's still staying positive. You know, I understand what's going on with the lighter weight calves, why a lot of people are getting rid of them right now, because they don't have. We're out of wheat pasture.
Sure.
You know, we're out of, or not everybody is, but the majority of it is. We need some rain. We need some rain in the worst way. What, so you, sounds like you're, what, half done?
A little over half done, yes.
And then Tracy's manning the fort today, I guess.
She's in the office. She's got tax season, and she's doing some things there. Jesus is wrapping up the feeding.
Right.
We got everything, the critical pastures taken care of this morning and arranged. And like I said, the heifers are, we're in that cycle. I think we lack one of our AI group. We've had 57 go ahead and calve. So we're in a little bit of a break here before the bull bred starts.
For that second cycle.
Right.
Yeah, I never thought that would get here on my heifers, but it actually, when it got here, dude, it was just like, and I was done.
Now, the cows, they're a little later than the heifers.
On purpose?
A little bit. They were, their AI day on most of them was 2 days later. But their gestation, I find it to be about 5 days behind what a heifer will be. I think Angus breed says 283 days. I figure 281 on our cows and 276 on the heifers. That's what I use. And we'll have our first calf starting about 265, day 266 on that gestation.
I was I figured mine at 283. And my first heifer calved, I'm counting back the days, 278.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was about 5 days early, the first one. And then they just rolled out from there on.
Well, one reason that I'm a little earlier, I'll use those curb bender bulls that are shorter gestation bulls. So the calves will get here and have some calving ease about them. But once they hit the ground, then they'll have a normal to above average growth pattern where I don't lose anything on a heifer's calf.
Right. You look in the ground, how's that thing going to grow? And 2 weeks later, where did that thing come from, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we visited your ranch, Josh and I did, here a few weeks ago, and you caught his attention on more than just one thing. You caught his attention on, unless it's cold weather, you've got the right heifer bulls now that you're breeding to, because you don't have to worry about pulling them or nothing. You told me what, you pull one in the last, what, 4 or 5 years? Is that right?
Yep. As far as calf pullers.
Right.
We haven't used the calf pullers on our normal presentation.
Right.
In 4 to 5 years. Now, if we have a leg back or a breech,
right,
we'll go ahead and get it on out once we get it coming right.
Right.
But now, I did... yesterday, I messed up a little bit, Jimmy. My heifers were, I thought, behind about 3 weeks ago, so I started up in the feed a little bit. And we had a couple that had them okay, but they prolapsed. But that was my fault. I overfed them a little bit.
Right, but, and you can do that.
I mean,
very easily. You can overfeed them easy. And
got them in a little too good a shape, grew that calf a little bit. And it was one of the bulls that I used for heifers that some of them are sleep all night heifer bulls. This one was kind of a borderline thing, but he was one that I had and had to use in that capacity because others, once they get a few years on them, they get too heavy to use that way.
Well, if you guys are just joining us on the Today in Ag Show on 96.5 KECO, Mr. Jimmy Taylor's in the studio with me from the Taylor Ranch, and he has pretty good size commercial Angus cow operation out there with which he does all of his breeding with registered Angus bulls, and he's also got all kinds of things going on that he's involved with. And coming up here in a little bit, we're going to talk about one of them that he's involved with the Cattlemen's Beef Board. But we're just talking cattle right now. And I know everybody likes to talk cattle. But anyway, when we come back, we'll continue our cattle conversation, which will lead into, he actually announced it. I don't even think he was off the plane when I announced he got a new promotion on that board. And he is now the vice chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. And congratulations. And so we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, we are back. Let me get clicked back over here to what I was looking at. Anyway, well, calving season's going on. There's bull sales everywhere, which you know that as well as I do. There's bull sales going on. There's still more bull sales to go. B&L Red Angus has got theirs coming up at Putnam. Harrison Herford's got theirs coming up at Arapahoe. And, oh, hot off the press. In your local favorite place, you go pick your penny news up. They're out this morning, and it was out yesterday evening. So the new penny news is out. And a little later on in the show, I'm going to read a joke that Jerry Nine. See, I thought of Jerry Klein, the comedian, when I read that deal. But Jerry Nine from Woodward, their sale is going on right now. Their weekly calf sale is going on as we speak at Woodward. Tomorrow, Elk City will be having their sale. And Monday, Clinton will be at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having their sale at Clinton. So, got anything going on you need to sell or buy, just give Mr. Brandon Hickey a call. And I'll have later on, like I said, later on the show, I'll have Hobart's results from yesterday. He had quite a few cross cows down there, and they were bringing nice money, heavy bread, somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000. So I've been watching the cow market, not the calf market, but the cow market is just slowly creeping up there. And we're going through that cycle of droughts. You know, it's 2022. We had one in 12. Now it's 2022. So did you like get a medal or a deal to wrap around your neck when you got promoted to vice chairman?
No, didn't get any medals, Jimmy. I'll tell you, the board I work with there and am on, there's 101 members on there, producers and importers from across the United States. It's made up of 60% cow-calf producers, 25% stalker feeder, 8% dairy, and 7% importers. And those independent producers, they're all volunteers. They don't get paid for that.
Right.
So they're there to give back to the industry, like my philosophy. The beef industry's been good to me. I want to give back. And to be honored in such a way by my peers was, I was very honored and it very humbling.
Yeah, it's, giving back. You got to give back. Somebody had to help you along, you know, and I'm not too old. I'm not one of those old dogs you can't train, because you've been showing me a lot about using the EPDs and how to depend on what you want to do with your cattle. You know, everybody's different. You take yours straight to the feedlot. You follow them all the way with AMAs, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so you follow yours all the way. So you got to get yours to where you want them at the feedlot and while they're in the feedlot. A lot of guys just follow theirs. You know, their calves are born, they take them to the sale barn, or they sell them to somebody alpha on the ranch. So they might not dig as deep as the way you do yours. And I got some other people I know that do that just exactly like you. They follow theirs all the way, the feedlot. It's a whole different beast. But right. It's interesting what you do, though. I mean, I'm fascinated by it, actually.
Well, as you know, and I don't know how many of those EPDs there are there, but there are several of them.
Right.
And every ranch's goal is going to be a little different, but depending on what that goal is, you can use those EPDs. There'll be EPDs there that will help you achieve your goal.
Right.
You can use those to purchase your bull. You want to pay good attention there. I actually do a DNA test on all my females,
right.
Females that I have at the ranch, and I'll use those EP. They're not EPDs; it's the raw DNA data. But I'll use those as a breeding tool.
That was my next comment. Is because even if you're not going to the sale barn or selling them to a buyer out on the ranch or going to the feedlot, you could use that to help you with your future breeding stock with your replacements.
Right. There's 17 different traits that they've identified on that DNA. The report that I get back, and I can identify set different parameters on top of each one, and if they fall below where I think they ought to be, well, I've got AI bulls that will help correct them in those areas.
Right. This bull here might be good for more milk on this cow, on this heifer, or it might be good for more marbling or ribeye or whatever going on. I'm still learning the technology, the mojo language you're talking about. But it's interesting what you can do besides, because I think I know bulls pretty good, and I can pick out good bulls, and I don't, as long as it's black or got a little white in them, I can pick them out. Well, I learned at the Bradley 3 that I'm not near as smart as I thought if I was looking for the genetics that you are.
Well, and even if you're got a different goal, if you're raising pounds to weaning or pounds to yearling, those numbers will be very important to you. Always relate it to, like, going to buy a vehicle, going to buy a pickup, and going to buy one based solely on the color. That's what you're doing when you're picking the black one.
Right.
You know, if it's a pickup, you might want the black one, the blue one, the red one. But to be able to look under that hood and see what size engine it's got in it, what kind of a rear end transmission, you'll want the EPDs and the DNA numbers to see exactly what that animal is, so you can make a good choice for what your ranch goal is.
Right, because if you just go buy you a bull because you like it, because it's pretty, or the back end's built the way you want it, sometime or another, you're going to have a set of calves out of that bull and go, well, that's not what I was looking for.
Right.
Well, you can kind of take some of the guesswork out of it with all this, especially with the Angus Association, with what they've got with this. I mean, it's even changed here recently, but it's still just crazy. And that doctor, that professor that was down there at the Bradley Ranch, guess what? Next Thursday.
All right.
Yeah, next Thursday. He's coming on. And, you know, he's teaching about, mainly he talked down there when you and I was down there talking about synchronizing your herd, mm-hmm. which I did it the first time ever on this here. And it makes a world of difference.
Well, I'll have to be sure and tune in then. He was
I'll save you a copy of the record.
Very knowledgeable when we heard him down there.
Because when he started talking, I still remember you sat beside me. When he started talking about sinking that herd, you just turned around and looked at me. That's what you're doing, isn't it, Jimmy? And I said, yes, sir, Jimmy. But anyway, if you're just joining us on the Today in Ag Show, we got the Mr. Jimmy Taylor on from the Taylor Ranch, and we're talking cattle, and we're getting ready to get into the beef, it's what's for dinner conversation. But first, I want to give all you evil farmers a heads up what's going on out there. Warning to all you area farmers, the tax commission is out checking farm trucks to see if you're running farm diesel in their trucks. They were around Mangum yesterday, so they're seeing if anybody's running that dyed fuel in their trucks. Like, they ain't got nothing better to do. So anyway, that's going on in the area. I don't know where they are today. They might be at the sale barn at Elk City tomorrow, because they kind of hit the sale barn when this stuff's going on. I remember back in 2012, though, when our drought was going on, there was a couple of sheriffs told them to go back to Oklahoma City and not come back. When things are rough, people don't need to be messed with. Well, let's talk a little bit about the beef checkoff. There's all kinds of things going on. I seen the beef checkoff, beef what's for dinner. Was at Daytona, if you want to hit up about that.
That is one of our ARs, and AR stands for authorization request. And you could think of it as like a project. It's where people that pay into the beef checkoff pay that dollar ahead. That's where one of those projects that their dollars go toward to promote research or educate people about beef. This project happened in February, I believe February the 19th, and it was in conjunction with the Daytona 500. It was the day before, and Beef It's What's for Dinner sponsored a race down there, the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300. And we haven't got all the numbers in yet, but preliminary numbers look really good as far as the total outreach we did, and got beef top of mind of those people that were there or watched on TV. TV-wise, I think at one point the peak time we had approximately 1.8 million people watching. It was on FS1, right. Fox Sports.
Yep.
Now, we're getting into more your area here when I give you this next number. And this is a thing.
Are you listening, Tracy? He's getting into my area.
this is a thing they used to track how an event went to see, you know, what it actually did. Impressions, and I believe that's the opportunity people had to look at something related to beef with this event. It might be an ad, might be on social media,
might be a sign out there.
Right, and preliminary number was 5.2 billion opportunities to see or hear about beef.
Well, you know, I don't even have to be an expert, but that's pretty good.
It was super good. Really good exposure.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're not a NASCAR fan or into race cars and stuff like that, you probably don't think about it. Why are they doing that? But you got to understand that there's millions of true followers into the NASCAR or in stock car racing. And lots of people, their big thing is they can't wait to get in that motorhome and take off and go to Texas Speedway, Kansas Speedway, Daytona. Talladega is by far my favorite. And I've been down there a couple times. And if you want to see 200,000 campers in about 20 square miles camped out around there, that's the place to go. They might be $1 million Prevost right there, and next to it's a 1972 Ford pickup with a wooden camper on it. They're camped next to each other. But what are they doing every day, every morning, every day at lunch? Because you go there 5 days early, so it's party time. They're cooking. And I bet 90% of it's beef.
And we want to turn that into 100%. Jimmy.
Yeah. There's still some chickens and pigs out there.
Well, so. We'll let somebody else worry about that. We want them thinking beef and grilling beef there.
Yeah.
We did have a promotional tent there.
I seen it. It was really cool.
That had some items and ways to interact with those people on the infield. And those people camping out there like you're talking about.
Right.
Had some chefs there. I think there was a chef competition as to beef food, a type of beef food that could be enjoyed at the Daytona.
I bet it was good,
Daytona too. Racetrack in conjunction with the Beef It's What's for Dinner 300.
I bet it was good.
Just a lot of different things going on, all of it to do with beef.
Yeah, and that's – you know, what's the main priority for the beef checkoff? What is it?
Great demand for beef. There's a lot of problems out there with the beef industry that you hear about around, but those aren't our purview. In the act, the Beef Act was part of the 1985 Farm Bill. Our job is to create beef demand. So all those dollars that come in, they go into programs that will help that either through promotion, through research, or through education.
Right. And I think you're doing one, you guys are doing a wonderful job. And I mean, because I seen the NASCAR deal, and you didn't even tell me it was going to happen. And so,
well, you say we're doing a good job. One way to look at that is beef demand is at a multi-year high right now.
Yep.
In the United States, you look outside the United States, and we just set a world record, an all-time record for exports.
Right. And you know, even as high as meat is and stuff like it, it doesn't matter which meat it is. Pork's high. Everything's high. Inflation, everything's high. So, but, you know, you got, but the demand for prime beef is at an all-time high.
See, I think that's the key. We're improving the quality of beef.
Yep.
As we go here. And if you give that consumer a good product, they're going to want to buy more.
Right.
So that's what's going on both domestically and internationally. We never had broken $800 million in 1 month sales and exports before 2021.
Right.
We broke that 9 out of the 12 months. We broke $800 million 3 times, $900 million 4 times, set a record of over $1 billion in August, and then broke that record in November and set an all-time record of $1.05 billion worth of sales.
And that's in a exports. Lot of beef.
That's a lot. We had three countries that went over $2 billion apiece. Japan, our number one market, South Korea, and China. And for the first time, we sold over $1 billion worth of beef variety meats. That's your tongues and livers and tripe that people in the United States don't necessarily want, but right. they're considered delicacies in other parts of the world.
Was you telling me about one of the byproducts of one of the, either the kidney or liver or something that they've in South Africa? Is that right, where they're eating it and it's helped them with their health issues?
Well, South Africa is an emerging market. We're just starting out there, and liver is one of the things that's going over really well there. Egypt is our number one market for livers.
Okay.
But probably the one you're referring to is in Peru. They were having trouble
that's
with
far
their,
from South Africa.
they're having trouble with their kids being iron deficient. They have figured out that if they feed them beef liver, that will help that situation.
Oh, cool. See, and then that's what it's all about right there. Well, I got to take a break, come back and give that Long Ranger forecast and just a little deal on the Hobart Stockyards, and we're going to start talking about what this Beef What's for Dinner website, because if you've never been on it, after Jimmy and I get through with it here in just a little bit, we're going to get on it. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Jimmy Taylor on the show from the Taylor Ranch with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, it's warmed up. 28 degrees, wind chills at 14. I was just kidding. The wind's out of the north, 21 miles an hour. Wind gusts, 26 miles an hour. And my Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast is today, 37. I don't know that we're going to get there. Tonight, 20 for a low, 50% chance of wintry mix. They changed it. It was snow. Now it's wintry mix. That's not good. 70% chance of snow tomorrow at 37 degrees. And then tomorrow night, 16. And then in spring's back. I mean, our weather pattern's kind of like our fuel and our oil price. It's just up and down, and the grains are going. Saturday, 54 and beautiful. Sunday, 66. Monday, it's going to be a little breezy, but it's 64 degrees. I got a couple things here to go over with you right before we get back with Mr. Taylor, but I got to read this text message we got. Beef bouillon, beef steak, beef rotella, beef roe, beef stew, chicken fry, beef, beef. It's what's for dinner. So there's your new line to give out to your publicly people. Anyway, but Mr. Jerry Nine, he's a funny guy. He said a blonde lady wanted to earn some extra money and decided to hire herself as a handywoman. So she started in her neighborhood. At the first house, she asked if there was any jobs for her. The man told her that she could paint the porch. And then he asked the lady how much she would charge him. She said, "I'll do it for $50. The man's wife was listening and said to her husband, "Does she realize our porch goes all the way around the house?" Short time later, the blonde lady came back to the door to collect her money. She got the $50, said, "Here's the paint I have left." He said, the husband said, "Paint left?" She said, "Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's not a Porsche, it's a Lexus." So anyway, she painted the car. Anyway, I thought it was funny. But anyway, well, Hobart. I got to go over Hobart Stockyard real quick. It won't take me but a minute. Sorry for the paper rattle. I got to get through my notes here. Anyway, they had a really good sale at Hobart yesterday. Looks like things have calmed down from all the ups and downs over the last week. But steers weighing 365, 236, 453, 216, 557, 188. 666, 160. Heifers weighing 339, 170. 449, 164. Man, big cows are up. Butcher cows were bringing up to 93.25. Butcher bulls, 119 per hundredweight. Bred cows were bringing up to $1,700 per pair. And Pairs were bringing $1,700 also, and a little bit higher. So Mr. Rex had a really good sale going on down there. You said something to me during the break that I got to make sure we're rolling. No, we're not. I got to redo that. Now you're on. So you can smile now. See, I forget to put it back on. You was wondering if I ever forgot to go to it. You said something about, you was talking about the paint and what's under the hood early. You forgot to mention something. You want to refresh that?
Just pointing out, Jimmy, that numbers are important, and that will get you where your ranch goes, where you want to be based on what goals you have. But to me, phenotype is important, too.
Yes.
I've got to enjoy looking at my cattle. I don't want something that's going to hurt my eyes.
Right.
So to enjoy looking at them, they've got to look right.
Yeah, because you could probably spot a Holstein in your bunch.
it would stick out.
It would stick out. Well, just compliment you on your cattle herd when we were out there touring your place here a while back with Josh Price. He, all the way home, he was just talking about those younger heifers that you just wing, that were winging in that one field we look at. He said, for the most part, 99% of them were just all the same size. You know, you'd have one, you had one in there was just a little bit bigger, and then you pointed out one I didn't even notice that you said it was a little bit smaller, but you know, you heard better than anybody. But for us just to look at it, it was just a dead even set of calves, and that's what you want.
Well, that's, yes, exactly that. And that phenotypically, that's, you're describing what, where I would want to be.
Right.
But you want your numbers coming in like that too, where they're looking very similar to whatever goal you have. You know, you might, growth might be more important to you. You know, carcass traits are very important to me, but I also raise replacement heifers, so those maternal traits are very important too.
Yeah, they're very important as far as I'm concerned, those Medill. Well, I brought it up. If you guys ever get a chance, please do, and go to a website called Beef. It's What's for Dinner. And if you don't know how to cook, you will learn how on this website. But there's also all kinds of other stuff on there. Jimbo, are you on there with me?
Yes. And actually, Jimmy, I think you've got it on your computer
yep.
over there.
Yeah.
I've got it on my iPhone. So in case some of your listeners might want to follow along
yep.
with us, it's Beef, It's What's for Dinner. .com, and you can do it either on a computer or iPhone. Google that, and when your choices come up, we'll click on it, and it'll take you to that website. And there's, I call this everything beef. This website is everything beef. For instance, Jimmy, I'm guessing you grill.
Kinda.
You look like a griller, but I bet you've got your favorites.
Yep.
And this website would show you some opportunities that you might not have realized of other things that you can grill or other ways to grill. It's got recipes as one of the first thing
yep.
on there. You would click on that, and you could...
There's so many different ways. They've got it all up with, like, different ways to cook meat from different countries.
Yep. And then there's 30 minutes or less recipes. There's stir fry recipes.
You know why your sales are up, like in China and Japan and South Korea? Because they seen on Facebook my pictures I post when I cut up beef to put with rice.
Oh, you think that drew them in?
Yeah, you guys ought to hire me.
That was the deal maker right there.
Yeah, but if you're looking for that deal down there in Peru on livers, this guy doesn't know how to cook liver up.
Here's ground beef recipes. Okay, you go back. Got different cuts of beef. If you're a little unfamiliar with what the different cuts are, it will have those plus recipes for if you want to cook filet. It'll have those type recipes.
Yep.
Or if you're wanting to use a sirloin, it'll give you some options there. Just scrolling down through here.
Now you got nutrition.
Nutrition is another.
Yep. Yours must look different than mine.
Hit the wrong button there.
Yeah.
And this is educational in nature. You know, healthcare professionals use this some to learn about beef, nutritional benefits. First one that comes up, I don't know if it's that way on yours, Jimmy, is where they've determined that you can start feeding beef to babies as early as 6 months.
Yep.
Helping their development.
Every bite counts.
Yep.
Well, I've noticed in the last 6 months to a year, they've come out with the deal, you know, a lot of people are saying too much red meat's bad for you. But they're just saying the opposite now, kind of. They're going, hey, red meat's not bad for you.
And if you want to find out all about it, this is the website
to
go, and it'll tell you the facts. Here's one, beef and iron, beef's protein, how what you would have to eat of other things to get the same amount of protein that you get in a 3 ounce serving of lean beef.
And then they got this one deal on there that says frequently asked questions about beef. If you don't know what you're looking for or you don't understand, which I think most people do, but sometimes, hey, you can learn stuff, and there's stuff to do if you're doing a diet. There's stuff that you can make with your beef to still maintain your figure. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's great.
Now, Jimmy, if you'll scroll on down, it has other educational opportunities down there. There's food service.
Yep.
If you're in food service, it's got some ideas there. You're in retail or interested in what the prices are at the grocery store.
They're in there for health care.
Training and resources.
There's all kinds of resources.
Cut charts, cutting videos, cutting guides, and then resources, price updates, newsletter for food professionals. Just about anything beef that you would want to know is going to be on this website.
Because people like yourself and myself, our number one goal is, not only do we want to make a living and not only we want to have the best, but just make sure the consumer's happy.
Please the consumer. That's where the dollars ultimately come from.
Yep.
So they get a good eating experience, they're going to want to buy more beef.
If somebody cooks your steak well done and you ordered it medium rare, don't blame the beef raiser on that deal. So anyway, and there's another deal on here. We got about a minute left. Remember, when we hear music, we're done.
All right.
It's got a deal on there in raising beef, and it's got things in there about what the cattlemen are doing and some different stuff they got going on. And then you can go to the newsroom and find out what's going on in the beef checkoff, I'm guessing.
Another website as far as beef checkoff, if producers are interested in finding out where their dollars are being spent other than the things we talked about today, you can go to beefboard.org or drivingdemandforbeef.com, and that will have the annual report that just came out there. It'll have the budget and audit report.
Where it all goes.
That came there. And those ARs I was talking about earlier, those authorization requests, they're in depth on that website. So you can go and you can look the whole AR over and see exactly what that project was and see where those dollars went.
This guy here knows his stuff. This is not the same guy, but this is a different guy. He says, the list of beef products you just read off, I believe, is from the scene in Sam Elliott's movie, The Hero.
Well.
So I got some pretty smart beef people on here today. So anyway, I think it is. I think that's where that guy, the first guy that read all that off, beef bullion, beef steak, he was smart, but he read that off that movie, Heroes.
Okay. Well, let me give you one more website.
Okay, the music's playing.
Beefresearch.org. And any research project that has been done about beef using checkoff dollars is going to be on that website.
Cool. Well, Mr. Taylor, thank you so much for coming in today.
Jimmy, as always, I enjoyed it.
All right. You guys have a great day. Jimmy Taylor was on. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk City.
They're ready to fight. Lisa Brady.